ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I wonder whether you've looked at a modern apartment recently and perhaps you're wanting to buy or maybe rent. No doubt it had a bathroom, maybe a few. Indeed, a bathroom for every bedroom in the really flash joints. It seems to be a developing norm these days. But they call it a bathroom, but I bet you it didn't have a bath. It may well have had showers with footprints that are large enough to accommodate a bath, but there would have been no bath. Elizabeth Farrelly has lamented these matters. The humble bathtub, she says, is fast disappearing from our dwellings and wonders if the ritual of bathing horizontally is being erased through design. Elizabeth is trained in architecture and philosophy and is a writer in residence at the University of Sydney's Henry Halloran Trust, and for many years was the Sydney Morning Herald's weekly principal essayist on urban planning and city making. She's also director of the National Trust in New South Wales, and she's also inhabited, I suspect, quite a few baths in her time as well. Elizabeth, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thank you, Hill.
I'd be right in that, wouldn't I, in that observation, would I? Yes.
Which particular one? The one about inhabiting a few baths?
You've inhabited quite a few bathtubs.
I have some vast bath experience, yes.
Is a bathtub crucial to your life?
Yes, I think it is, actually. And in fact, I find I'm not alone in this entirely, although it is a matter of opinion. But after I wrote that piece about baths, a lot of people said, yes, cannot live without a bath. And for me, in fact, I wouldn't move anywhere without a bath, although I have to add a caveat. I've just moved to a very small place in the middle of Sydney, which has sort of a half of a bath.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to say I won't move anywhere without a bath, you are limiting your options.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Well, there are many other reasons not to buy or move into a contemporary or recently built apartment.
What is the story? I mean, here with baths, because I'll try this observation on you. Baths seem to be old-fashioned and showers seem to be modern. And
yes.
As developers and builders have, you know, wanted, they want to be contemporary and modern, they don't build baths anymore. Because it's not just about space, is it?
I don't think it's just about space, because it is the case that as bathrooms become less and less bath-oriented, they become more and more numerous per apartment. So I don't think it's about space, but it does seem old-fashioned, and I think of it as being a bit like, you know, tea and coffee. You know, back in the 20th century, some time ago, when my mother was young, you know, tea was kind of English and coffee was kind of American and kind of cool and kind of modern. Mm. And it does feel a bit like that, but I think not necessarily in a good way. I would argue that baths have a softness and a meditative quality potentially that we could do with actually in modern culture.
I wonder why they don't build them anymore. But I mean, this observation is generally true, isn't it? They don't really.
Oh, it's almost 100% true. You find almost no bath unless it's quite fancy and it's one of four bathrooms in an apartment. Say, where you might find that the master bedroom.
Master bedroom might have a bath.
I don't know why we still call it master bedroom.
But it'd be a big showpiece bath, wouldn't it?
But it'd be one of those freestanding jobs. It's probably marble and probably very unpleasant to use because it's really cold. But yes, it's become quite a rare thing. Whereas once, probably not that long ago, they were ubiquitous. Every house would have a bath and maybe a shower over it. And then people thought it wasn't adequate to be standing in the bath, so you had to have a separate shower. And now the bath's vanished completely. And I think part of it is meanness, honestly, in the guise of modernness.
Is it cheaper, though? But, I mean, I don't know. You're right. Because you've observed that showers are often, you know, as big as baths in terms of floor space.
In terms of floor space, it's probably not cheaper. But in terms of detailing and plumbing,
cheaper.
I think so. And because, you know, those modern showers, they don't even have proper doors. They have that kind of big space, and the idea is that the water doesn't actually spread, so you end up with wet toilet paper because the water's actually coming out. Very attractive.
When I was growing up, I don't recall my mother ever having a shower. I mean, there was a shower in our house, which we used to use all the time, but it was above the bath. I don't recall Mum ever having a shower. She just used to have a bath.
There's kind of an idea that, A, it's feminine, B, it's old-fashioned, and C, it's sort of about a slower, more leisured lifestyle.
Takes a while to have one, doesn't it?
Well, not for me. I'm a bath lover. I do it quite quickly, and I think that you can get the benefits quite rapidly. And everyone says, "Oh, you know, no, but it uses more water." If you have the 2-minute shower, and I think, does anyone actually have a 2-minute shower? I mean, maybe in times of drought, but I'm not sure that, broadly speaking, we've moved to 2-minute showers. So I think the water argument is a bit of a fiffy, but I do think that it's a bit of a loss because we, the shower is quite, get up, go get them, refresh me in the morning, and a bath is quite, let's chill here.
Well, you don't get out. I mean, I don't know about you, Elizabeth, but I don't. I mean, I'm not fond of baths, I have to say, but I never got out of one feeling better.
Some people say that.
I usually get out of one feeling slightly ill. And nauseous.
Really?
Nauseous. Oh, well, from the heat. It just.
Oh, yeah. maybe the
and
temperature.
And I didn't feel very clean when I got out of one either, just sort of lying there wallowing in my own,
Well, people say that, but I think
detritus,
unless you're really grubby. I mean, are you really grubby? Personal question, but.
Well, but the purpose of, we're talking ablution here.
We are talking ablution.
We want to feel fresher and better when we get out of it than when we got into it.
Well, I have to say, that would put you in the germphobe category. I think the dilution factor would be significant. I'm not sure that you're really in danger from your own.
You can't have a rinse off in a bath, you see.
Yes, you say that. But you can have, you can read. I have done a lot of reading in baths.
Really?
Maybe if you wear glasses to read, they steam up a bit. That might be a downside. But, I think there's a lot to be said for a bath, at least the opportunity of a bath.
Yes. You say, it's an architectural fashion, I suppose, you make this observation too, that it's particularly not about space because there's been the advent of high-end apartments in particular and houses, which appear to have as many bathrooms as they do bedrooms. This idea that if you have a bedroom, you've got to have a bathroom, an exclusively devoted bathroom attached to every bedroom.
Every child must have their own bathroom.
Own bathroom, Where do we get this idea from?
That's really bizarre, isn't it? I think it's really curious. I'm fascinated because the plumbing, of course, is one of the most expensive parts of any apartment or dwelling.
Yeah.
And so to replicate it like that actually adds significant expense. So it is rather curious. I can't explain it. It must be a fashion thing. Everybody thinks it's a bit daggy to have a bath, probably.
Mm.
And it's seen as being kind of smart and, ambitious, career-driven, purposeful to have a shower.
Well, it's efficient and you're always busy, so you have a quick...
That's right.
You never have a quick bath. You have a quick shower, don't you?
Well, I would dispute that. I can have a quick bath. I have had...
You
might say
bath.
That a shower is a morning thing and a bath is an evening thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain relaxy kind of ritual nature to a bath that might prepare you for a good night's sleep, arguably. But I did refer in that piece to my student life having baths in the morning with the morning sun, and that was true. And I used to get up and be energized and walk into uni and feel refreshed from that. So I guess people respond differently to this, but I'm reluctant to make it a gender thing. I don't know.
Do you think women like them better than men?
Well, would be a superficial observation from,
I know.
From people who...
Meaningless and mindless.
No accusation here. Oh. I think of, bath scenes in movies. One of my favourite is, I can't remember which one it is. It's not The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, but it's one of those Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns where he shoots the guy from underneath the bubbles in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the go ahead, make my day? Or one of those fabulous lines that comes and then he sort of shoots him with the... I suppose that's incorrect these days. I'm not allowed to shoot people anymore, are you? But certainly not from the bathtub.
The
and
movie,
I always
movies,
wondered whether actually a gun would work from underwater. I have not tested this. But if Clint Eastwood can do it, I guess any bloke can.
Yeah, I... Yes, I know. And I know it's mindless stereotyping, but I wonder whether there is something in it.
I think women are probably more inclined to be, want to be, perhaps meditative. And I think there is a slightly, perhaps, spiritual aspect to bathing through the ages.
Maybe that's right. Here's another thought. Mm. Is the rise of the shower associated with the rise of the exercise mania? That is, people who go to the gym and all that sort of thing. I mean, people who go to gyms... don't have a bath, do
no,
they?
No,
they
no, do not no, have no, a bath. No. So, absolutely not. And actually, one of the things that does intrigue me is why gyms are so masculine these days. You know, everything is black and everything is kind of sweaty, and you know, unless you go to the Pilates room or the yoga room downstairs, and there's it's all white and pretty and pastels and full of women doing bendy things. Go to the gym, it's all pumping and kind of aggressive and testosterone. So maybe it is associated with that fitness mania.
Yes, it might be. Of course, the bath has a it has a very, very long history, and perhaps that's because in the advent of, well, in the absence of, you know, decent water pressure, it was the bathing option. It was the bathing option because you could carry water to a bath, but you can't really carry water to a shower. And so you, for a shower to work properly, you need proper water pressure, and therefore that's modern. Well, and here we go again.
Well, you know, a kerosene can on a tree is kind of
But that's difficult. That's difficult, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I think it's actually very contemporary to want a practical explanation for everything. I think that a lot of decisions in history have been aesthetic and about pleasure and delight, and also those potentially sort of spiritual or numinous kind of experiences that came with ritual cleansing. And a lot of religions have that kind of cleansing built into
them. That's true, isn't it? Yes, that's right. What, is it in the Jewish religion that you have to, that you used to be, have to be bathed before marriage, for example?
Yeah, yeah.
More, actually, I think in many Middle Eastern traditions.
And after menstruating. Well, I mean seeing women as
after menstruation, yes.
Maybe that was part of the association with femininity. Who knows?
In fact, I heard that you had to be bathed in milk if you were really posh.
That sounds all right, doesn't it? Ass's milk.
Sounds
that's
disgusting.
Kind of very good for your skin, I imagine. but you know, and there's bathing in Buddhism, and there's bathing in Hinduism, and of course in Islam, you know, washing before prayer 5 times a day.
Of course.
So there's a lot of that ritual ablution which we've kind of lost, I think, and substituted with practical considerations like get in, get out.
Yeah. These days, of course, the phrase going to the bathroom doesn't even, well, you're not going.
Nothing to do with
nothing to do with bathing. You know, it means going to the, it's a polite way of saying, well, is it a polite way? It's one of those, what's the expression I want? It's a way of, you know, of avoiding saying a nasty word like toilet, isn't it?
Well, isn't it funny? But even the word toilet, you know, it comes from toilette, which was also to do with washing and not to do with the water closet, you know, back in the day. So it's interesting how we move to these sort of euphemisms for things we can't bear to discuss in public.
I wonder whether the bath will come back.
I hope so. I like to think that we might move to a slightly higher spiritual plane as a species.
Yeah.
This sounds fanciful, I understand that. But that you know, all of the painters who have romanticized bathing, and I think it is a romantic thing, and maybe that's part of the gender split.
You see, despite Alfred Hitchcock's attempts to make the shower, you know, a terrifying place, i.e. Psycho.
Yes, absolutely.
Hasn't really worked, has it?
There have been a number of murders in showers. I mean, in movies.
Yeah. And in the bath, too.
And in the bath, Jean-Paul Marat, for example.
Exactly.
Yes, very glamorous death. But, look, I would like to think that we might reinvest in the idea of bathing and what it means for us, and maybe even doing it communally as the Romans did.
Because historically, people came up with great ideas in the bath.
Indeed.
The Greek philosophers came up.
That's right, Eureka.
Eureka, exactly. But there's no recorded instance, I think, of people having great ideas in the shower. Is there?
Well, not that I know of, although, yes, I could be remiss in not knowing of these things. But I actually do think that bathing is a good thinking spot, hence my affection for reading in the bath. I used to read theology books and farming books when they were my two passions in the bath. And it's a really good place to read because you can, about a chapter, that's about the time it takes you to get too hot and too wrinkly.
and feel nauseous and disgusted. That's right.
I have
and
never
then get out of the bath
never.
And quickly run a cool shower to feel better.
Oh dear, and that is such a shame. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I think the idea of a society where we, I mean, we're very good at talking about well-being and, you know, time for myself and all that sort of stuff, me time. But I'm not sure that we actually do that with the kind of mental chilling out that's required. And I like to think it's possible in the bath.
Let's hope so. For those who love them. And, of course, with the multiplying bathrooms, you know, no longer have the problem of the locked door and saying, you know, how long are you going to be? I'm having a bath.
And also, I think the other thing is the window. You know, bathrooms have lost windows. And they're
that's right. All bathrooms are internal these days.
They are. Nobody cares. And so your towels stay wet unless you actually have a, you know, heated towel rail. And nothing dries. Whereas to have a bath with a big opening
window
is the ultimate luxury.
There are too many peeping Toms, Elizabeth. That's the trouble.
Not in my life.
Well, it's terrific to talk with you about this forgotten aspect of grace in our abluting habits. Elizabeth Farrelly, great to talk.
That's an absolute pleasure.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.